Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com. Hi, everybody, and welcome to After Things. It's the show that happens after weird things. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me is Andrew Main. Andrew, welcome to After Things.
Hello there, Mr. Young. My name is Andrew Main.
Dude, this is going to be an awesome week. I'm going to be down in LA for the majority of it, and we're going to go to Star Wars Celebration and maybe Disneyland. This is going to be pretty rad.
Yes. Go pick on all the nerds at all those places, you know?
Nerds.
I mentioned that I was going to Star Wars Celebration. I used the joke like, yeah, I'm going to go pick on nerds. And he gives me this look like, seriously, you go in there? I'm like, this is a guy that has like a chandelier made from like a skeleton of a dead person. I'm like, you don't get a judge. We'll just say he swallows swords for a living. I won't name names. It doesn't. The nerd is not a thing that has meant anything really since the 1980s.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly where the tide turned, right? And now it's almost mainstream. Like I don't know if there's a whole lot of things that people react to in that kind of way. That like, oh, you are shamed for your.
Yeah, it used to be the loner sitting in the corner who was socially maladjusted, you know, and into things that just nobody else got, and that, you know, was nerdy stuff. And then when, you know, nerds started because of the internet and the computer, and nerds started to meet other nerds, and a lot of people realized they had a nerd side, it became more pro-social. It's like, what does it mean? Is it mean just anybody who's into smart stuff? It used to be easy to say, oh, it's somebody who's just not very – has poor social skills and is into obscure things and now and generally intelligent. And so now it's, well, they meet from around the world. They're having little nerd children and they're reproducing and they're in large groups now.
It really is amazing. And this Star Wars Celebration, I think, is going to be very, very unique because it's – the last time, hopefully, I think we're all hoping that the movie that comes out at the end of the year is good and the subsequent films are going to be something that we want to generate excitement for. But this will be the last one that I think kind of solely sort of celebrates the past, right? Like this will in the future kind of be its own mini Comic-Con where the gigantic panels are going to center around these thriving Star Wars franchise, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Disney's doing a wonderful job. They're taking the original Star Wars films and they're making Lego style movie versions of them. So kids can, you know, 7-year-old kids can get up to speed about the universe. So when Episode 7 rolls out, everybody gets to be sort of on the same page, which I think is fantastic. It's going to be for everybody, and like the Avengers and like I'm going to show you something. This is going to be nerd cred here. Hold on.
All right. Andrew is now walking into his apartment there in the heart of Los Angeles, within a stone's throw from the studios for which many of these movies are conceived. And
I signed up for a clothing subscription service because I'm lazy, right?
Okay. So see, now I'm looking at a very nice white button-down shirt.
Uh-huh. And I don't know if you can see the it's like $60 a month. They send you like a couple items. They sent me this shirt, and they sent me this pullover or this sweatshirt right now.
All right. So that is a nice little.
I don't know if you can see the little logo there. It's a little subtle.
Ah, little Avengers.
Let's check out the inside.
A little Avengers print on the inside. Looks like a light, breathable fabric.
Check out the logo there.
Oh, is that the cufflink or is that?
That's the just on the pocket.
Oh, just on the breast. That's awesome.
And so it's got, they're very, very subtle. So what is, it's like 5-4 clothing or whatever. So what it is, they're a clothing subscription service, and they just did a deal with Marvel Comics. And they have like, one of the things they have coming out is a really cool looking sort of slim fit like dress jacket that's got an Iron Man print on the inside. I said, oh, I like this. It's not a big, huge logo. It's subtle. I like the clothes. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is a clothing line. This is the Avengers is there. And I'm sure they're probably going to do a Star Wars one or whatever, but I'm not wearing, you know, a Yoda backpack.
Exactly. It's for adults. It is an understanding that there are adults that love these franchises that would like to bring on, or that they would like to wear decent looking clothing.
It's a very interesting age where now you get a nice in clothing brand goes in there and produces that stuff. So Avengers, super mainstream. Star Wars is going to be big. It's going to be bigger than that. And it's going to be for everybody. And so, yeah, it's like the nerd concept. Like it doesn't mean anything anymore. Oh, here's the commercial for it. And you can see like the inside of the pockets. So
that's great.
Entire clothing line.
It looks like a kind of high end fashion brand.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then they came out with you go in there and you say what kind of stuff you look for. Then every month they send you sort of random stuff. So
nice.
I'm lazy and I forget to shop. So try that. Anyhow, that's it. Yeah, we had a good question in here. We had a very good question in there. And that was, have either of us ever mentored anybody that we then regretted or didn't turn out well?
Well, that's kind of a hard question because I don't know if like, the term mentor, right? Like very rarely does it get assigned kind of like sight unseen, you know, unless it's like a mentor program or something like that. That, you know, I know through the Daily Orange, I've gotten assigned as like an alumni who wants to keep in touch with the current, you know, crop of students. I've been assigned people for which I am the quote unquote mentor for, but that's not something that like I would attach a lot of personal you know, idea to. In general, what people that we consider we mentor are people that we feel are worthy of the title, right? It is something that is put on somebody after a certain amount of work.
Mm-hmm. I know that, yeah, I've never really actively or whatever, like I will now mentor you. And I have younger friends who I give advice to and I talk to and people come to me for points of view on stuff. I have friendships, you know, Justin and I have been friends for years and it's been a very mutual thing where, you know, I've learned as much or more from him than I would probably ever pass on to him. So I wouldn't call that a mentorship at all. It's a friendship. I've certainly, you know, in magic, you certainly do get younger people asking older people for advice on stuff. And I would say that the thing that is frustrating for me is you have people who seek out under the pretense of advice, but really what they want is they either want you to do something for them,
yeah,
you know, or they just want approval for what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're not interested in making it better. They just want you to take what they have and tell them it's great and then help them promote or put out, you know. And that can be frustrating. And it's also, you know, it's one of these things where you start realizing, man, how much effort am I going to spend there? And I've had that, like in magic, you get that where I know of a magician, a younger guy who very talented, very, very, very talented guy, very, very capable, very inventive, very clever. And, you know, like, you know, 2 years ago, you know, wanted some advice for me. And I gave him like, I said, well, I've been in TV, you know, for a while. And I can tell you like flat out the best piece of advice I can give you is, go take improv classes. You know, in magic, you become very dependent on a deck of cards and in tricks and gimmicks. Go to an improv class. Go learn how to do that. Just spend 8 weeks, whatever, 9 weeks learning how to entertain people and not being afraid of entertaining people without any props. It will change your entire approach to everything. Just do that. I'm like, I'm telling you, if I imagine me popping out of the time machine and telling you, do this. This is the level of advice.
Bobby, I'm go to the improv class.
Yes. So
and he goes,
I'll think about it. I'm like, this is a person, I'm like, you know, what do you want to do? I want to be like David Copperfield. And I got to tell you about something I found, by the way. And I'm like, well, you know, do this. You know, he took acting, he took dance, he took voice classes. He did all these things in New York City from the best people he could find. That's why he's David Copperfield. At 19 years old, he knew to do that. Anyhow, flash forward, this guy has something in development with a network. Network seems excited because he's brilliant, very clever creator, very clever magician. And then everything falls apart. And then the word comes out that they told him, well, you're not really a performer. And I'm not saying that had he spent 9 weeks doing improv classes, it would have changed things for him, but I'm sure as hell that it would have given him a better chance, and that he just was so unaware of the deficiencies there that it was just this, like, there's this thing that could have changed your life, that could have helped you out, because you were put into a position where I told you it was going to happen, because once the deck of cards is out of your hand, you don't know what to do, would have helped you.
And by the way, I think one of the biggest things is you need to have at least the connection. So let's say that this kid doesn't want to immediately run out and sign, like, sign up for an improv class for whatever reason, right? There's some block between him and doing that. Engaging with you in a conversation that you are having with him, right? Mm-hmm. Even just to say, oh, okay, well, what did you learn in an improv class? Like, what are elements of it? Like, just understanding the concept better instead of just giving the, like, okay. Like, that even can oftentimes make all the difference, because we all have reasons why we don't do things that maybe would be better for us. You know, we all have mental blocks. We all have opposition, even, you know, in situations where we trust the person whose advice we are taking. But you need to connect. There needs to be a communication if you really want to learn.
Oh, for sure. In show business, you got to put in the reps. And, you know, Brian is a great broadcaster. Brian's a great podcaster because Brian spent years on the road in front of people where he couldn't see beyond the footlights, doing his stuff, and kept learning to truck right on through, kept going. He learned how to do that. You were doing comedy in college. You were working in comedy groups. You were doing that, and you're very analytical about your craft. You were doing those 5 podcasts a week. You were doing this. You guys have put in far more reps than I have. And when I listen to A Weird Things, I can see the difference between what you guys do and how I do it, because I go, man, you guys have really got the experience from doing it daily. I do it once a week, and I can appreciate the difference in your skill set there. And don't dismiss it, you know. And I think that's the hard part for many people to do, is just sort of think, well, you know, this, they want to justify. And that's the thing that's been frustrating for me, is that it's I'm not going to give you, you know, if somebody sits down to me and says, oh, what about this card slide or this card slide? I'm like, well, I can tell you what works for me, and I can tell you my approach, but I can tell you there are 100 guys that can give you better input on that. I can tell you this or tell you that. I'm one of these people, like, if you told me this when I was 19, I mean, when I was in high school, somebody said, you should take acting class, you should do that. I ran out and I did it, changed the way I thought about things, you know, and it affected things. So I was at the Magic Castle Thursday, and I'm walking through the Magic Castle Library. The Magic Castle is this private magic club in LA, and it's an amazing, really cool, really cool place. One of the things there is we have a members library, which is this downstairs. You have to be a member to get in there. And I'm walking through there, and I see a binder. I'm like, this is new. I take the binder out. And
I feel like this is what you sent me the thing about, right?
Yeah. The binder says producing magic television specials. Right. And it's an old binder. It's from 1981. I'm like, what is this? I pull this out, and it's a magician who I've heard of. I don't think I've ever met, by the name of Mark O'Brien, who lives in, I think, in Orlando now. When he was a student at Northwestern, he did a paper on producing magic television specials. He went out to Los Angeles. He talked to David Copperfield circa 1980. He talked to the guy who was running Doug Henning's production company. He talked to, like, Mark Wilson, talked to these people. He did interviews with him. He had a whole big thing explaining the history of magic television specials up until that point. It was a very interesting point in time. Inside the binder, I found a photocopy of a ticket stub for when David Copperfield was shooting his Magic of CBS specials. It was to get in there, and this was at NBC Studios, which is literally 5 blocks away from me where he shot this. There was a ticket stub for a 1980, you know, showing to go see this. There's the artwork, which came out from, like, the special. He shows that hair.
That's great.
Okay. It goes into, like, in interviews, firsthand interviews. He talks to David Copperfield, and David Copperfield says, oh, yeah, I went to, like, I guess HB was or somewhere studio. I studied here. I learned from this person. All this sort of early stuff. David Copperfield talked about the challenge to developing new material because of the cost and trying to come up with stuff. Goes into the different talk shows. It's a very great analysis of what's going on at that time. you know, in the state of magic. I devoured this. I went back, read half, they closed the library. I came back, I read the other half. I found stuff out that I did not know, like that his first ABC, Copperfield's first ABC special was actually Forwald. They bought the time slot, yet they featured people from ABC on it because they figured they could go to sponsors and say, hey, we're going to have, you know, all the big ABC talent on this special. So do you want to buy an ad on it? Like, yeah. And so ABC talent made themselves available. So it was a very clever way to do it. And David Copperfield introduced them and they wove his magic into it. They didn't pick it up there, but then they went to CBS and they talked about CBS said, yeah, if you get this share, you know, we'll renew you. You know, if you get a 30% share, we'll renew you for next year. You got a 34%. The nitty gritty, how much the budget was for the television specials. Wow. There's a, I took got hold of a copy of this and found, you know, in there like a production schedule which showed the calendar for shooting, like the different the days they VTR'd stuff, all of this interesting stuff, which for me being somebody actively involved in producing television magic, fascinating. And I showed it to other people there who I know had an interest in TV magic, like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
like you said you wanted to be on TV. Do you like, you, oh, I'm like, you didn't, this is like,
this is what you need to know. This is the holy text. This is the Shroud of Turin. This is amazing.
Yeah. So it was just it fascinated me who was interested and who was just, you know, they couldn't. And like the thing that they took away from was how much Copperfield got that first special because they were able to sell it to sponsors. They had sponsors in place. They were able to put that thing together. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you there was insight. And granted, this is 35 years ago. But so sure. That power structure has not changed. And so it's one of these things to me, it's like, man, this is, if I wanted to do a TV special, I know like, oh, the thing that I'm going to go do is I'm going to go find a sponsor. I'm going to go find a company to say, you're like, all right, you know, what's it worth to you to have this sort of feature in or whatever. So anyhow, I guess to that earlier question is that when people tell you what's important and you don't think it's important, sometimes they're wrong. I mean, if somebody, you know, you have to understand each person you go to, what they know and what they don't know. And there are people who offer you wonderful pieces of advice, but their career has not moved anywhere in 30 years. There are people I go to who are very good resources of a lot of encyclopedic knowledge or in show business who I think have dumb ideas. I don't tell them they're dumb ideas, you know, because I don't want to hurt the relationship. But anyhow.
You know, it's interesting. For ambitious people, you very often, the act of mentoring, and I don't mean this to take any kind of the altruism out of it, but you very often identify traits that you find to be productive in yourself, you know, or you look at other ambitious people and you imprint kind of where you are coming from and you want to, you look at them like a younger version of you and you want to say like, oh, if I had this when I was at this stage, I could have gone farther. I could have gone faster. I could have achieved more in a different way than I did in my own journey. Which is great. I think that's, I mean, because very often that's how, you know, I'm sure when I met you, Andrew, you saw elements of yourself in me, and I am far more the better for it. And I have often looked to find other people that I can help share elements of if I've achieved anything or they can take something from me, I want to share it with them. The problem is, and this is on both ends, both for the mentor and the mentee, is that for the mentor, I think oftentimes that imprinting is more in your own head than it might actually be, you know, like somebody who's like, oh, I want to get into blogging or I want to get into podcasting. It's very often just that surface level thing that doesn't go beyond, you know, where you want to go of like, okay, well then you need to do X amount of stuff and you need to do it every day. You know, you need to wake up and do, you know, four blog posts a day, every single day, no matter what. And you have to write about it. And the days where you don't know how to write about anything, those are the days that you actually learn how to do stuff. And it's like, okay, I just got busy and I'm not going to do it anymore. And then you're like, oh man, like there is just this moment of kind of disappointment where you're like, I thought, you know, you want to be like Obi-Wan in episode 3, like you were the chosen one, you know, like, but it's often in your own head. So I think the disappointment very often comes in from just there not being another side to it. They're not being them, not being you to a certain extent, mm-hmm. and how you view yourself, you know, in the position that you were in. And it is disappointing. It is hard. And it's why in, you know, especially with some of the DO stuff, now my big thing is like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what is your, I'm not going to try to imprint my journey. I'm going to ask you what you want to do right now. And if you don't know, then think of something and I will steer you in the best direction that I can, be it to me, to a friend of mine, to a resource that I am aware of. I'm going to do my best to kind of put you in the position that you want to take. And that way it's more of a lead a horse to water thing and then just see whether or not they drink, as opposed to explaining in intricate detail how to drink.
Yeah, it's, you know, there are people, everybody wants things. And I'm more interested in the people who want to do things and trying to figure out, you know, separating that, because where do you want to spend your time? And you know, when I met you, you had a lot of qualities that I did not possess that I admired and I wanted to have. Even when you're 15, you know, I met you when you're 15 years old and, you know, I said, man, this, you're incredibly smart, very sharp guy. And I thought, like, you know, instead of, I'm not a guy, believe it or not, I'm not a guy that really likes to hold court. You know, I'm not a guy that really wants to be all right, everybody. And you know, there's, you know, I can think of an entertainer we all probably know that, you know, that's what he goes into a room and he wants to know something nobody else does so he can tell everybody about this thing. You know,
yeah.
I have things I like to share, like, oh, here's a thing that's going to change the way you think about stuff. But then I like it to come the other way. I like that kind of thing. And you and I talk, we probably have three basic conversations: Star Wars, Apple, you know, and politics, you know. Yeah. And but we can find endless ways to approach those things because you're always going to have a take on it. That I'm like, oh wow, I never thought about that. You know, you have, it's very, very interesting. And I'm sometimes very, very slow to pick things up. And I'll give you an example of something that struck me last week on Weird Things when we did was an article about, might have been the UFO report about the guy seeing the stuff dripping from the air. I made it a point to point out that this was the I called out whatever, you know, Monster TV or whatever website it was. You pointed out the author of the article.
Yeah,
because I look at it like, here's news, this is the source that controls it. You look at it, here's news, here's the human being that wrote the story, sat down and crafted it. Something that's just not on my radar, but is an incredibly important point about what's going on there, where you could see the person sitting on the other side of the keyboard and what's going on to there. And you have a totally different way. And that's the thing, like, man, that's what I like, is like when Justin describes something, it's not going to be in Andrew words.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, God bless that guy, because he has to go through a bunch of user submitted stories that are surely not concise, and he has to make them into readable posts that people will consume. So that dude is certainly working very, very hard. And you know, likewise, you know, and I think that's kind of what, to the mentor conversation, it's not like I've taken every bit of advice you've given me, right? And I don't think that you've held it against me.
Gosh, like, no.
It's not about the instruction of stuff. You know, I think there are certain times where it's like, if I was like, oh man, I want to have a certain kind of job. And you're like, well, you need a driver's license. And then I refuse to get a driver's license. Then you would be like, well, I mean, we need to have basic tools for you to continue to move along the journey of life. I think you would look down on certain things like that. But in general, it's about figuring out where your drive meets somebody else's, you know, and how everything can be the better for it. And if that guy who you were talking to with, like, the improv classes, if it wasn't like, you know, like, okay, well, for whatever reason, I don't like improv classes, but I'm doing these other things. I'm doing open mic nights where I'm working on a stand-up set. You know, I'm doing sketch comedy where I don't do magic or whatever. Like, something in that realm where it's like, you're going to suggest later down the line, you know, you really should take improv classes. You know, like, that will still be a point of view of it, but it's not like not everything, it's not an instructional thing. Like any kind of relationship, which is why the mentor thing is kind of weird. Like, I think it's just like a way to sort of describe it. It really is a two-way street. Like, it really is something that the best way that you're going to get something out of somebody else that knows something more than you and can instruct you on where you want to go is to kind of have a back and forth. And you will, you know, I've gotten stuff out of people that I've told things and given advice and stuff. And hopefully I've given them a good advice and stuff to go forth with.
You know, I think, you know, thing like I've been lucky that I've had people that I was able to learn a lot from. And sometimes and there are people I got a lot of information from. They told me things that were useful. And then when it comes to knowledge, some of the things that you learn are just as much not what to do. You know, when I was younger, you know, I had the opportunity to work with a couple different people. And one person was a great person to collaborate and work with because he was very much invested in my success and how well things worked out for me. And that was going forward when I worked with you. It was like, oh, we'll have this, you know, we'll take a warehouse. I'll put my magic stuff there. We'll build a podcast studio so you can do the iTrick stuff, but you can also just use it for whatever else you want to do, because having you have a space where you can create and go do stuff, which not all of it was germane to what our current mission was, but it was certainly important to you developing who you were, you know. And that was a very, very important lesson I learned from somebody is, you know, you want to work with people not because, you know, you imagine yourself sitting on some sort of throne and you want somebody to stand before you. You know, you're Lewis and Clark, you know, you're out there trying to figure this stuff out, and maybe they didn't get along, I don't know. But point is that you want to collaborate. I worked for other people who had a lot of knowledge, but they didn't get that I realized, like, man, this person's goal is to have me be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, to be in a subservient position, to you know, be their you know, their professional assistant or whatever, not to really develop my skill in, you know, in a way that may actually be threatening or go beyond what they did. And I said, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be, you said one of the most important things ever that affected me, and I've told it to Brian, and Brian credits me for it, but it's actually from you. You know, talent doesn't fear talent. And, you know, that really affected a lot of the ways I approach things in life. And when you work with really talented people, is that if they're going to become successful and that success could eclipse your own, cheer it on, you know?
Because also, you know, there's no end. You know,
yeah.
No, nothing ever ends. You are always going to be benefited by people who around you who are succeeding. It will just always happen.
If you're afraid of it, you're going to look at the world in a very narrow view, and you're going to. I have performing friends who are hard to get along with because they're very jealous. When somebody else has success, they turn bitter or whatever, and they cannot enjoy other people's success because they think it comes at the cost of them. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to be around, and it's frustrating to want to work or collaborate with them because you can see that. And I see that. It's very prevalent in magic, and you have people who are, it's not on the surface, but it's there in their actions, the way they behave, and it's basically, it's inhibiting them. It's really, really inhibiting them. And, you know, but that anyhow, bottom line is you can learn a lot, sometimes not the lesson somebody's trying to tell you because they don't know. I've had people who've given me very heartfelt advice, and I go, well, this is not a thing you experience. This is a thing you think, because it's theory for you, but all your other theories were wrong.
Well, and that's the thing, is like everybody's got to do, you got to do your own calculus on it. You got to figure it out. All right. We actually do have to wrap up, after things, because, the Diamond Club, .TV programming Saturday surprise rock block rolls on, with Chord Killers here live. But, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
It's been weird.
After.
But after. That was kind of weird, too.
It was weird. It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.